by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Cairo Knights, Jonathan Weir, in for Spike O'Neill. How are you guys doing? Happy Friday, everybody. I'm so happy I can only hear myself once, and that is more than enough. If you listened to last night's show, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Got Matt Butler with me. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic.
And you can hear
Friday.
Me. That's a beautiful thing.
I can hear you. I'm not hearing myself, which is important. And I've decided today, because, look, this week we've done some serious stuff on the show. I started off the week, we talked about school shootings. They were talking about assault weapons bans. Yesterday, the president was indicted. I just want to kind of have fun today, if that's okay, and maybe have some good news. If we can do that, that would be fantastic. Later on in this hour, we're going to have Frank Summerall on to talk about the best movie president of all time, because the president is in the news. I just thought it'd be fun to talk about the best movie president of all time. In fact, I think we're going to do a list where each of us is going to have a pick who the best movie president is, and then we'll vote on which one is the best. So it'll be official. It'll be official. That will be the president of this interim show for as long as I'm allowed to sit here and talk into a microphone. It will be our president. I want to start off talking about this. It's a great story on MindNorthwest.com by Heather Bosch. How would you feel if you were kidnapped and taken from your family and held in absolutely brutal conditions, and then you found out that you were going back home and you're going to be allowed to join your family again? That's what's happening with the orca Tokate. In the story, she talks to Ellie Kinley with the Lummi tribe, and she's very happy, obviously, because Tokate is going to be coming back home. What amazed me about this story is Tokate, the orca, is 58 years old. She was taken from Puget Sound 50 years ago. And she's finally coming home. I think we need to hit that again. It's been years in the making. But it gained steam when the head of the Dolphin Company, which is a group that, you know, does things like this, they took over. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's the person, they're the group who took over the management of the Seaquarium. They expressed an interest in the idea. Tokate was held at this place called the Seaquarium. But anyway, this nonprofit group got involved. What's interesting about this, too, is Jim Irsay. Do you know who that is, Matt Butler?
I do not.
Jim Irsay is the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, and he's a billionaire. And if you look at him, you're like, I would not suspect you're a billionaire. I would not even suspect you're worth $500. I don't think you look like somebody who has not seen a checking account in the positive for a very long time. But he's one of these kind of eccentric billionaires like Mark Davis, who's the owner of the Raiders. And he's just kind of... It's just that he's like, I made enough money. I don't care how I look.
How nice.
And I made enough money.
It
must be delightful. Because you know what? You're right. There's a certain, I'll snap this back in a second. There's a certain level where you can look like a slob. And there's a certain level where you can't. You can look like a slob if you make no money. But then if you make, I don't know, 6 to 7, maybe even 8 figures, you got to dress up. Probably 4 or 5 figures, too. But you got to dress up. You got to dress the part. You got to look good. But once you're into billionaire territory, you can look like a slob again. Because what, is somebody going to fire you? The great thing about this is they're bringing her home and they're taking her away from Miami. Nobody should have to live in Miami unless they have to. I seriously mean that. I've been to Florida. It's not worth it. she, Tokate, is being brought home. And I am by no means an animal rights nut. I eat meat. I go to the zoo. But I don't understand how people are still going to sea parks to see these animals after all we know about them now and how intelligent they are and how miserable they are in captivity. They swim in circles. They're fed vitamins instead of live fish. They're stressed out and they die sooner. But hey, you know, F them. They sure do make big splashes when we make them jump through hoops. So that's fun. Their sad splashes just bring my family so much joy. And their tears just add salt to the water that they're in. So I think they probably enjoy that. I don't understand doing this to orcas. I mean, if they were just dumb manatees, maybe. Sea cows. But not orcas. The other thing that bothers me about it, they named her Lolita. Lolita? And this was in 1970. If you're not familiar with it, Lolita is a book by a gentleman named, I believe, Vladimir Nabokov. And it's about a grown man seducing a 12-year-old child. There was a movie made with Peter Sellers, some other people. It was Stanley Kubrick directed it. Same premise, grown man seducing a child. The child's name is Lolita. The movie came out in the 60s. The book came out in the 50s. They knew what they were doing in 1970, but they named her that anyway. There is a line in this story by Heather Bosch that got me choked up. There is a line in this story that when I told it to my wife, who I'm telling you, I've seen this woman cry maybe three times in our relationship of 25 years. Once was at the Green Mile when we watched the Green Mile. And the other two times were when my kids were born. Didn't cry on her wedding day. Or at least it wasn't tears of joy. When I told her this, she gave me number four. She cried for the fourth time. Apparently, Tokate, the orca who's been held in captivity in Miami, will be able to be reconnected with her family in the L-Pod, according to Ellie Kinley. And apparently there's evidence that her mother is still alive, which is crazy because Tokate is 58 years old. So her mother would obviously have to be older than that. But I looked it up. Orcas in the wild live between 50 and 90 years. Apparently, her mother might still be alive. They said they played Tokate, her mother's whale song, and she recognized it. I'm just... She hadn't heard her... She was taken from her mother when she was 5 years old. She's been held in captivity in Miami. They played her mother's whale song, and she recognized it. I'll give you a second. I'll give you just a second. Because I need one! It's a beautiful story. It is an absolutely beautiful story. I also want to say thank you to Jim Irsay for getting all of this together. Seattle has a lot to thank Jim Irsay for. He's the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, who, in his wisdom, decided to trade. Or not. I think it was a trade. He released him. Maybe Frank Summerall can correct me on this later. But I believe Peyton Manning was released because he had some neck issues from the Indianapolis Colts. The Denver Broncos picked him up, and he played pretty well for them, except for in the Super Bowl, where you guys kicked his butt. What was it, like 45-8? So thanks, Jim Irsay, for everything. I made a mistake with this story. I thought it was a beautiful story, and I'm right, it is a beautiful story. It is. But the mistake I made was I wanted to see what other people had to say about it.
Never a good idea.
I wanted to see what the comments were. And, you know, we don't, on MyNorthwest.com, there isn't a comment section. But I, in my infinite stupidity, decided to see if it had been posted to, like, any Reddit sites or anything like that. And it had been. So let's go to the comments.
Let's all go to the comments.
Let's all go to the
comments.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the
comments
to get ourselves
depressed.
Yeah. So here's some of the comments on the story. As Matt Butler pointed out, never a good idea, but I can't help myself sometimes. Here's what Squirrel La 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 had to say about it. They did the same thing with Kiko, you know, the whale from Free Willy, and she or he, I can't remember what it was, died within a few months. Tokate would be better off staying where she is. All right, first of all, Squirrel La 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 La. I looked it up. Kiko was alive for 18 months. That's one. Second of all, I don't know about you, but I would rather live 18 months of freedom than 30 years in captivity. Especially if I was a whale. I mean, if I had the ability to swim and eat all the fish I wanted and be free to just freak out tourists in Puget Sound, make everybody happy, I would take that over captivity anytime.
It's a rich life.
It is. It is an amazing life. By the way, you guys in Seattle, you don't know how lucky you have it. I'm out here in Massachusetts. You know what we have? Every summer, we have shark sightings on Cape Cod. That's the closest we get to your killer whales. We get a reenactment of Jaws and honest discussions over whether we should close the beaches like nobody even saw that movie. Here's another comment on Tokate, the orca being brought back to Seattle. This is from Toadstool Venom 1987.
Credible source.
It says, unfortunately, the stress of the move, her age, and the fact that she's been living in a closed filtration system means that she's going to get pounded by viruses and bacteria she has no immunity for, which is also what killed Kiko. I imagine she'll pass sooner, to be honest. Well, told Toadstool Venom 1987, I'm sure nobody, including the marine biologists who are overseeing this, thought of that at all. I'm sure they have no idea what they're doing. This is what drives me nuts with people. When they know something that's sad news or bad, they always have to put it out there in your face like it's always going to happen the same way over and over again. But here's the thing, Toadstool. The fact that it happened again doesn't make it more likely to happen. It makes it less likely because we as human beings have the ability to learn from our mistakes.
You sure about that?
Well, okay, the smart ones, like the marine biologist, like George Costanza, they know how to learn from their mistakes. And they will, I believe.
The sea was very angry that day, my friends.
And finally, my favorite comment on this comes from Bilbo... Hold on. Bilbo's Beard Boy. I'm enjoying reading the names more than I am anything else.
They're better than the comments.
Yeah. Finally, from Bilbo Beards Boy. Or Bilbo's Beard Boy. So a whale has more rights than a human. What about the First Amendment rights of the performers? You know what? I always thought, as somebody who makes a living speaking, that I would always appreciate the First Amendment more than the Second Amendment. But Bilbo Beardsboy, you've actually made me a firm believer in the Second Amendment. In fact, I don't even think that we should stop it with assault weapons or anything like that. I think people should be allowed to own grenades and landmines. I think we should be able to own nuclear weapons, because I would love to drop one on you. For that comment, I would love to just watch the look on your face as, and then a mushroom cloud. I wouldn't drop it right on you. I'd drop it next to your house, so you have to watch it land first. Ugh. That's why we don't listen to comments.
Let's all go to the
comments.
Let's all go to the
comments.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the
comments.
To get ourselves
depressed.
The secret is, don't read the comments.
That's right, Homer. Homer knows better than to read the comments. Homer knows better. Thanks for indulging that. I thought that was fun. Coming up, we are going to do a list of the best movie presidents of all time. We're going to have Frank Summerall on to do that with me and Matt Butler. Who is the greatest movie president of all time? You can get your picks in right now at 888-973-5476. That's 888-973-CHIRO. Let us know, who is the best movie president of all time? 888-973-CHIRO. It's coming up. How you guys doing? Happy Friday, everybody. We're going to do a little bit of a fun little experiment right now. I thought with the president being in the news so much this week, it'd be like a fun distraction slash, I don't know, also married to the news type of thing, if we made a list of the best movie presidents of all time. Because I've been thinking about that, like, you know, it just seems like at least the last couple presidents we have been, yeah, they're okay. But they don't measure up to some of the people that we see on the silver screen. For that, we got Frank Summerall joining us. Hey, Frank.
Talk presidents. I'm surprised Trump's in the news. I haven't heard much.
Well, you might have been listening to the show last night, because I don't even know if that actually got aired. But yeah, he's in the news. It's weird. He's not even the president anymore. Still gets talked about a lot. I don't know how that happens.
I saw a headline that was really funny on Twitter where they identified him as the Home Alone 2 star was indicted in yesterday. I saw something like that. It was a great way to describe him.
You know, my first thought when he was indicted was, if they can indict him, then they could indict everybody in Home Alone 2. Macaulay Culkin, Tim Curry.
Oh, Tim Curry.
Rob
yeah.
Schneider.
Yeah, probably
yeah.
him.
Petschy.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, come on. None of them are safe. None of them are safe. So we're going to get 8 of these presidents, and then we're going to vote on which one is the best. I'm going to start off with my first pick, and it's short and sweet. From one of the greatest movies of all time.
Get off my plane.
There you go, that fella.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a great pick. And he's back. He's running
Harrison
that back.
Ford. Wait, they're making a sequel to Air Force One?
No, it's much less exciting. He's going to be the president in the MCU movies now on. So he's going to be two fictional presidents in his lifetime. Yeah, sorry to bum you out.
Care. Oh, man. I don't know about you, Frank. I'm done with the MCU.
Oh, I've been done since... like 2009, 2010.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You didn't really get into it then.
Nah,
that's about
nah.
when it started.
I like the Dark Knight. I like those. Those are cool.
The Dark Knight is an MCU.
I know. But then I say like it's DC, like, and then they're like it's not DC either. I'm like, all right, well, I like Christian Bale Batman. I like those.
It's like I never really got into MCU. I liked Sophie's Choice. That was a good movie, but you know,
that's a crazy superhero movie.
Well, all right. we got your first pick for this, and it's another great speech. I'm going to let this play for a little bit. Mine was short and sweet. This is something I could let play for minutes.
Less than an hour. Aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom.
That is President Bill Pullman.
Oh, man. I mean, the list starts and ends with this guy. I mean, I know Gene Ursula a couple days ago did a story on the word patriotism, and I think like 34-38% people feel patriotic, and it's this loaded word now. Yeah, you hear that speech. I think that number bumps up to 95-96%.
I used to play it all the time on the 4th of July. Thomas J. Whitmore is the name of the president of that. We got Matt Butler. What is your first pick there, Matt?
My first pick would be John Travolta as the Clinton-esque Jack Stanton in Primary Colors.
I gotta revisit that.
I don't have clips from that movie, and I think that's actually for the best. Was there a reason you're picking John Travolta in that?
I just liked it because it was an interesting picture that paralleled something that was real. So you kind of knew about it and whose story it was, but you were watching it in this alternate dimension. And it was a very caring, very charismatic politician, also very deeply flawed.
All right. I just realized we don't have enough time for me to play most of the clips that I have for this, so I'm going to pedal the metal here. My next pick is President Merkin from Dr. Strangelove, played by Peter Sellers, just for the phone call that he has when they find out that they are about to nuke Russia. And he's like, I know you're upset, Dmitry. I'm very upset, too. Well, how do you think I feel about it? He's just absolutely hilarious.
Unbelievable.
If you haven't seen the movie, you have to. Next one is Frank Summerall's. I don't believe it's from a movie, but it's still a really good pick.
Yeah, I chose Paul Giamatti as John Adams, so we're throwing it back. This was back in 2008, so television was just starting this boom that we're in. This was like Breaking Bad and Mad Men and starting to become prestige TV. And Paul Giamatti,
sure,
like... Oh, go ahead.
I forgot John Adams cooks meth in that. You need to watch the
miniseries.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the miniseries goes in a bunch of different directions there. But Paul Giamatti, just a couple of years off of his career-defining role in Sideways, decides to go to TV, which was a much weirder choice then as it is now, because now like Kate Winslet's like, oh, I'll do TV. But yeah, that miniseries just cleaned house. I kind of forgot about it. I was doing a little research. It won like 13 Emmys in the 1 year.
It
like
huge,
really
yeah.
set the bar for what prestige TV is. I have to revisit it. It's been a while. But Paul Giamatti, let's throw him a bone.
Okay. I don't have a clip from that, but I can just do my Paul Giamatti from that movie impersonation. Ready?
I'm ready.
Hear it? Abigail. There you go. That's pretty
That's
much
perfect.
That
That's all we need.
That's him the whole movie. Matt Butler, what's your next pick?
My next pick is
six.
For Kevin Kline in the film Dave.
That's a great one, Dave, where he's impersonating a president, which I bet if you're the president, you have to have the worst case of imposter syndrome, right?
I bet. Just seems
like unless you are a raging narcissist, which many of them probably are.
No comment.
I can't imagine waking up every day and be like, you know what? I deserve to be the leader of the free world. All these people, I deserve to have the button.
I felt that from time to time. It happens.
I thought it was a bold choice.
As a producer, you do have all the power, yeah.
I thought it was a bold choice you didn't choose Kevin Kline in Wild Wild West when he was playing Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, yeah. This was the one that came to mind for me.
Oh, okay.
More.
Well, we want to leave Will Smith's name out of our mouths.
Oh,
all right, next one.
Yeah, true.
Next one is my next pick. And you know what? This one sucks, so I might defer. Mine is Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks. Just because when he gives a speech to the aliens before they kill him, he uses the line, can't we all just get along? And he's like, thinks it's the most prophetic thing of all time.
No, I'm on board with that.
All right. Your next one, Frank.
Yeah. Remember when Oliver...
Best president from a movie.
Remember when Oliver Stone did the George W. Bush movie, and it kind of didn't work, and it was kind of weird.
It sucked.
And then 10 years later, Sam Rockwell just has a throwaway part as George W. Bush. I thought he crushed it. I know it's kind of controversial, but he's kind of small at his desk, and he's really getting manipulated.
In the movie Vice.
Vice, yes, from the guy who made The Big Short, Adam McKay. And he's getting manipulated by Dick Cheney. He's just snacking on food the whole time. I love Sam Rockwell. I thought he just crushed that. And this was when Steve Carell was really gunning for an Oscar, and then the Academy was like, you know what? We're going to give Sam Rockwell the Academy Award nomination instead.
He deserved it. Sam Rockwell crushes it in everything. The only thing I didn't like about that movie is because he was playing W, he didn't get a chance to dance.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him dance.
I know that would have been great. Sam Rockwell has to dance in every movie. Would have been great.
Matt B., what is your last pick?
All right. And for my final pick, I am not picking it for the movie. I am picking it for the actor. Morgan Freeman in Deep Impact as Tom Beck.
Oh, good one. Okay.
Who doesn't want Morgan Freeman as president? Come on.
I swear to God, every couple of days on Twitter, Morgan Freeman is trending, and my heart palpitates just a little bit. It freaks me out. And then I check, and it's like, oh, Morgan Freeman's in the news because some quote of his resurfaced about like why he wears an earring.
Let me throw you one more. Will this guy join our lists? Dennis Quaid will be Ronald Reagan in a biopic this year.
I interviewed Dennis Quaid about that. Because they filmed it before COVID, and I can tell you right now, he's not going to make this list.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's not a lot of publicity. It doesn't sound like it's getting a lot of traffic.
It didn't deserve it. All right, we're going to decide the list of the best movie president. Coming up, Cairo Knights, Jonathan Weir in for Spike O'Neill. Cairo Knights. Jonathan Weir. Brian Benioff will be here next week as well. We are doing a list, and we're going to start voting now on that list, of the best movie presidents of all time. Got Frank Summerall joining me, along with Matt Butler. All right, so here's our first two choices. Harrison Ford, whatever his name was, in Air Force One, versus President Merkin from Dr. Strangelove.
I got to go Merkin. I was really jealous of that pick. It was a great call.
You
got to
go Merkin.
Sorry, right, Harrison
Matt Butler.
Ford.
I'm also going with Merkin.
Wow, I thought Get Off My Plane was going to win the day. All right, Independence Day versus John Adams. President Whitmore from Independence Day versus an actual president. From Braintree, Massachusetts, John Adams. I'm going to go with Whitmore. I think he's a better president than John Adams was.
I think most fictional presidents are better than the real one. So let's go with the fictional one.
All right. Fictional one moves on. Next round, George W. Bush, played by Sam Rockwell, versus John Travolta as Jack Stanton in Primary Colors. I'm going to pick W., just because I never saw Primary Colors, and I think Matt Butler might be the only person on the show who did.
Well, that makes my vote obvious.
Let's go Travolta, then. I'll be the tiebreaker. Let's go Travolta.
You're going with Travolta?
Let's go Travolta.
Just making things interesting. All right, Kevin Kline in Dave versus Morgan Freeman in Deep Impact. I'm going to go with Kevin Kline and Dave, and I would pick Kevin Kline in most things over almost everything.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm going with Kevin Kline, too.
Racist. All right, next one.
Isn't everything.
All right, next one. Next round. We are down to the final four. President Merkin from Strangelove versus President Whitmore from Independence Day for best movie president of all time.
If it's down to me, I gotta ride with Bill Pullman.
All right, what do you say, Matt Butler?
I say Whitman takes it for the speech.
Whitman takes it, and Merkin is out. Merkin should always be in, but his is out. All right, John Travolta as Jack Stanton in Primary Colors versus Kevin Kline as Dave in Dave.
I am still going Kevin Weaver. Kline.
I think it's pretty obvious. Gonna go with Kevin Kline on that one. So that leaves us with two finalists.
think we ended with the right choice. I think these are the right two guys.
But I'm going with Pullman. I'm going with Pullman. That guy was a nobody, became president, and then he started in a bunch of lame movies in the late 90s because of that speech. We'll go Pullman.
What did happen to Bill Pullman? And remember the days when we used to get Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton confused?
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't make any sense other than their names were similar? Well, they had no similarities whatsoever other than people were dumb and it was Bill Puh.
He was just this character actor. He was the weird boyfriend in Sleepless in Seattle. He's the husband in League of Their Own. Nails the speech and they're like, let's start putting him as a starring guy, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work.
I felt so bad for him in Sleepless in Seattle that I'm going to vote for him as President Whitmore on this. All right, so Matt Butler, I'm going to you.
Oh, geez.
Are you going to make it a clean sweep?
I'm going to go with Whitmore.
Whitmore is the winner.
Congratulations.
There you
Congratulations, Bill Pullman. It's what your career led you.
Tyranny, oppression, or persecution.
I mean, when you peak there.
But from annihilation.
I'll just skip to the part. Hold on.
World declared in one voice, we will not go quiet.
There it is.
The night.
There are the chills.
We will not vanish without a fight.
There's Randy Quaid.
We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today,
come on,
we celebrate our Independence Day.
Man, we need that.
There you go. Thank you so much for joining us, Frank Summerall.
Let me leave you with one thing. If we were going to cast Joe Biden, I came up with two guys, and I want you guys to pick between the two. Because I was trying to figure out who could play Joe Biden, and I came up with two names, Beau Bridges or Kris Kristofferson.
Why Beau Bridges?
These are the two guys that came up to me.
Kris Kristofferson, I see, because he's got the like world weary kind of.
You need a haircut.
I've been through a lot of
stuff. See that too. Yeah.
Is he okay? Honest question: is he still alive?
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm talking about Biden. I'm assuming that would be in the news. I'm assuming we'd be talking about that. No, Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Okay,
he's still hanging around.
I'll go with Kristofferson, but I think the absolute best pick is Jason Sudeikis because he played him on Saturday Night Live better than anybody else has.
Oh, good call.
Remember when they brought Jim Carrey in for that?
Yeah,
it was
kind of a weird choice.
Terrible.
Kind of
Everybody
weird choice.
Was so excited about it. Like, oh, Jim Carrey's going to be on SNL playing Biden. He's going to be, and he was just so over the top. And we forgot. Oh yeah, that's right. That's Jim Carrey. That's what he does.
Maybe that's what Sudeikis does post Ted Lasso. There you go.
He's just going to be a Biden impersonator.
He's going to keep doing that. Keep finding skits to make movies out of.
Is there much demand for that?
I don't think so, but I didn't think there was demand for a Reagan biopic, but here we are.
Give it enough time. You give it enough time. And maybe we should have Randy Quaid in a movie playing a president. I mean, we got Dennis Quaid as Reagan. Who could Randy Quaid play?
Nancy?
Yes. That's the movie I want to see, and I'm making it headcanon right now.
Would Philip Seymour Hoffman have crushed a Trump role?
Oh, man, why did you say that?
I'm sorry. I should have left before. All right, I'm getting out of here. I got to get out of here.
He would have been amazing as Trump.
Okay, I didn't know you guys were into that. I think that could have been the good one.
Okay, you know what? I hate AI, but I'm all aboard the AI train now. If it can one day give us Philip Seymour Hoffman as President Trump.
Okay.
It's the only way it could happen. Thank you, Frank Summerall.
Glad to be here. Have a good one.
Really appreciate it. Coming up, Kyra Knights. Going to talk about useless legislation in King County, getting rid of the Oxford comma, but also one state is banning participation trophies. And I'm 100% on board with that. Talk about it on Kyra Knights, John Ware, and for Spike O'Neill.